The other day, Mary and I drove our youngest daughter, Rebecca, to the airport in Charlotte, where she flew to Chicago, and then a flight from Chicago to Germany, where she's going to be for the next 2 months studying German. And Rebecca finished college, but has really been drawn towards languages and wants to go to Germany to spend 2 months studying German. She speaks Chinese fluently and has studied French and Spanish, but German is a language she's really drawn to. In many ways, it started in high school here at Apex High School with Herr Moserman, who's the German teacher there, and she really connected with him as a teacher and was really drawn to this language. So she's off there for 2 months studying German and hopes to come back. What she's doing is getting like a second major. She already finished college, but is looking to get a second major and go on to study languages and linguistics. I don't know where this gene came from, because it didn't come from my side of the family. And Mary and I tease about this, the idea of language and being able to speak different languages. Sometimes people will say to me, how many languages have you studied? Oh, how many have I studied? How many can you speak English? That's my thing. So, but what I've learned about languages is that, you know, language is not just different words for different things. But language really is an expression of a people, an expression of a culture. It expresses something, and language opens us up to another people. It opens us up to another understanding, of another perspective, another way of seeing things. And so I share that story with you about my daughter Rebecca because it speaks to me this morning as we gather for this Feast of Pentecost, particularly that first reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Today is the Feast of Pentecost, and which is sort of the conclusion, the end of what we call the Easter season. The Paschal candle that has stood at the font since the Easter Vigil will go back to the sacristy, and it will come out for baptisms and for funerals, to remind us of this new life. So we complete a season today. But in this reading from the Acts of the Apostles, I just want to go through it a bit with you in a moment. What I find interesting is that the Spirit comes upon these followers of Christ, and we kind of take this for granted, but what's the great thing that's talked about? The Spirit comes upon them. It's described as a wind that comes upon them. They're gathered together at Pentecost, and this fire, flames of fire come upon them. Pentecost was a Jewish holy time. Pentecost was 50 days after Passover. 50 days after Passover. And it was a Jewish celebration. And the first followers of Jesus, being faithful Jewish followers, gathered for Pentecost. And it's at that time, as it's described in the scriptures, that the Spirit comes upon them in a new way. And I'll talk a little bit about that in that first reading. And so we, as followers of Christ, celebrate Pentecost. But not as the 50 days after the Passover, but the 50 days after the resurrection, as we're called to go forth into the world. Let me talk a little bit about this first reading from Acts. I'm not going to reread the reading. David did a fine job in reading the reading. But I just want to reflect on you with you on some of these phrases. So they're gathered together, it says. It's a very interesting reading. They're gathered together, of course, as the rush of the violent wind fills the house, tongues of fire. You know, when you see paintings of Pentecost, great artists try to capture this. You know, a common picture is the disciples sitting there with little tongues of fire. Do you ever see those paintings, tongues of fire above them? Trying to convey this sense of something was happening, something. The wind, which is an ancient, you know, the wind is the ruach, the breath of God, this breathing, this sense of God's presence. Even the story of creation, the first breath, we breathe life. This wind comes upon them. So something happens. And what I find interesting is, how is it expressed? These disciples of Jesus, it says, speak in a way that everyone understands. It's described as speaking languages that others understand. Isn't it interesting that that's the description of this Pentecost, this Spirit coming upon them? It's not that, oh, they all saw visions of heaven or they all ascended. They spoke in ways, in languages that people could understand. We kind of take that for granted, but just pause with that and think about that. And the folks who are around them hear this. As it says here, this is always one of the challenging readers for lectors to read each year. They say that they were bewildered because they heard these people speaking in their language. And this is a wonderful phrase that I think gets lost in our translation into English. So these people are speaking in different tongues, different languages. They understand. And the folks around say, they were amazed. They were astonished. And they asked, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? What it's really saying, and if you can convey this, is they're really kind of saying, aren't these just Galileans? Who are these people? How can they know how to do this? I don't know if you've got in your mind a stereotype of people that are sort of not that with it to do this, but aren't they Galileans? Like, is this what we'd expect from here? The Galileans were not, they weren't in this language, perhaps not the sharpest knives in the draw. I think that's what the disciples are trying to say. You know, aren't they just Galileans? And this wonderful thing happens. And they said, we hear them. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamia, all those kind of different places. And then they look at them, and then some who are just puzzled by this, as it says, they thought that they were drunk. And Peter, the great leader of the early followers of Christ, has to get up. And here's Pentecost. And he gives kind of his first address. And what's the first thing he says? They're not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. You can picture this scene, that the way Luke is portraying this in Acts. You know, but they're filled with the Spirit of God, and their lives are, you know, changed and transformed, and the people around have to come to a place to understand this, but they understand what they're saying, and their lives are changed and transformed. Strikes me as we gather to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost is our language, the language the church uses, do people understand? Do people grasp what we're about? You know, there are studies done, polls that are taken, and particularly in the United States, about people's religious backgrounds. And people check off, I'm a Christian, Jewish, Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim. You know, the fastest growing group, is N-O-N-E, none. They call them the nuns, not N-U-N-S, but N-O-N-E-S. Folks in our nation, folks who come from really no religious background, no religious history or tradition, that's the fastest growing number in the United States today. And so, as we're a church sent forth by the Spirit, can we speak a language like these early followers of Christ did, that was able to communicate the love of Jesus, the transforming vision of Jesus? Can we communicate that in a way that folks can understand? Or do we speak a foreign language? Does that make sense? Do we speak a language that doesn't even speak to this world? Oh, we can speak in-house about things, but miss communicating the depth of those words. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say that our language, it does not have value. But sometimes we can use words in a way that we get what they may mean, but do they communicate to the wider world? And language, it's what language is. That's what linguistics is. It's the study of language. And how can we communicate to a world beyond us this great gift that we've received in our faith journey through baptism? And on this Feast of Pentecost, how can we speak that language to the world beyond us? So I share those thoughts with you this morning as we celebrate this great feast. We were blessed at the 9 o'clock service. We had our Youth Sunday here this morning, and Katie and Maggie Loughlin kind of spoke to us and just had a great sharing with them this morning's service. And so you missed a great talk. But I'm glad to be with you and share my thoughts with you today on this wonderful Feast of Pentecost, that we are a people sent forth in the power of the Spirit.